Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And thrilled to be with you again on the great WKOK. From the Sunbury Motors Studio, our great thanks, as always, to the wonderful people at Sunbury Motors, located at 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, located on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Talk about difference makers, and they make a huge difference in this show, and we thank them so much for all that they do. Steve Jones with you, Kevin Herr alongside.
Hello again, sir.
This is where you jump in and make your presence felt.
That's as good as it gets right there.
That's what concerns me. I feel like on your end we've topped out.
Yeah, so you know, that happens from time to time. I'll tell you what, it's been a busy day, though, sports-wise. Lots of stuff going on.
Why? The Flyers change uniforms?
No. The Flyers have not changed uniforms. And there are no new uniforms that I'm aware of at this point. How's that?
I mean, normally with you, it's either open-wheel racing or somebody changed shoes.
Well, I think the open wheels have the week off, so you know there's not much going on there, except maybe some practicing at Indy.
There'll be a lot of off weeks, believe me.
No, but you got the Masters starting up here at the end of the week. Major League Baseball cranking up tonight. Another college player is going to the NBA.
Yeah,
and Stern talked about what you were talking about yesterday, changing the age of when a player could enter the NBA draft.
Yeah, except the problem is he can't do it.
Can't do it. Nope. It has
because
to be done.
It's a Players Association thing.
Yep. That's exactly
right.
And
that's the part that baffles me. If I'm the Players Association, aren't I trying to protect my current rank and file?
You would think so, yeah.
I mean, that's what baffles me about that whole thing.
Well,
I have never understood how they sit there and say that, you know, well, we think 19 is... Remember I told you the age part was important.
Right.
Right? Well, it's 19. And he is... If I'm there as the union leader, don't I want to keep the college guys out another year?
Well, you would think that the veterans would want their positions a little more stable, yes. That would make sense to me.
So, all right, here's the question I have for everybody today to call in about it. 1-800-795-9565. What kind of year do you think the Phillies will have? Will they win the division? Will they make the playoffs? Or will they be out of it? And I don't care about the poll question. Don't do the poll question thing. I want this on the air today.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, we can run the poll question later if you want. All right. But I want to know what the fans think the Phillies will do this year. Here it is, the day before opening day. Phillies and Pirates will play tomorrow. Roy Halladay against Eric Bedard at PNC Park at 1:35 tomorrow. So that will be the Cardinals and the Marlins and the highly anticipated National League opener. Kyle Loesch against Josh Johnson tonight, and they have a live stingray behind home plate. Bizarre.
Wait, I haven't seen that. Is there a photo of that somewhere?
Of the stingray? No, yeah. I haven't seen it. I don't know. I just know it's back there, and if I'm a catcher, my inclination to go for a foul ball drops dramatically.
I was going
to
say, I'd let that foul ball go.
Yeah. I want some sharks with lasers attached.
With lasers on their heads.
That's what I want. I want some sharks with lasers. 1-800-795-9565. What kind of season do you expect from the Phillies? World Series, National League pennant, division championship, or missing the playoffs?
I'll tell you
now, remember
with the new
remember
playoff
what the
rules.
Pattern's been. But remember what the pattern's been. The Phillies have gone down a notch each year. World Series, victory, National League pennant. out in the league championship series, out in the divisional series.
But with the new playoff rules, it's going to be really hard not to make the playoffs.
I don't know. You're looking at, first of all, in their division, Miami's better. Atlanta is interesting. Cardinals, Reds, and Brewers. Giants and D-backs. And maybe the Dodgers. Not as easy as you say.
Well, you know, that Central is a little interesting.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Prince Fielder's with the Tigers.
Right.
Albert Pujols is with the Angels. But, you know, and Ryan Howard's watching. All three have lost their power sources.
How do you feel about Cincinnati, though, in the Central?
I'll tell you right now, the Joey Votto thing is confusing. 10 years, $225 million?
That's a lot of... Well, it's actually factors up to be about $250 because it's an extension of the contract that he has now.
You have to be kidding me. Okay? This isn't Ty Cobb.
Well, they're hoping it is.
It's not. I mean, I could see signing him to an extension. Okay, fine. I could see in today's market between 15 and 20 million on the average. Okay, it's today's market. It's insane, but still it's today's market. But 10 years, $225 million for Joey Votto, who's really good, but doesn't give me that Hall of Fame feeling just yet. Really?
That's an awful lot of money and an awful lot of people that need to be sitting in the seats every night to pay that bill.
I find it stunning. Oh, where's Barty? Did you see the Flacco thing?
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that because, yeah, I jumped all over about that one earlier today.
Where
Flacco
is Barty?
Saying, I'm the best.
Let me read the story here. Let me read the story.
Yeah, this is a beauty.
I saw this and I thought of Sarah right away. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Eli and Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Baltimore Ravens quarterback Joe Flacco and his agent believe it. He's right there with the elite of the NFL quarterbacks. Flacco's agent, Joe Linta, created a stir in February when he said that Flacco should be considered a top five quarterback based on wins and losses. Flacco took it one step further yesterday, telling WNST 1570 in Baltimore that he believes that he is the best quarterback in the NFL. I assume everybody thinks that they're a top five quarterback, Flacco said when asked where he thinks he ranks among NFL quarterbacks. I mean, I think I'm the best. I don't think I'm top five. I think I'm the best. I don't think I'd be very successful with my job, but I didn't feel that way. Now, that part I do agree with. That sentence I do agree with. All right? That, in other words, he has to believe he is.
Right. I understood that.
I mean, come on. That's not really too tough a question. That doesn't mean that things are going to work out that way. It just means that that's the way it is. That's the way I feel that it is and the way I feel it should be. Brees, Rodgers, and Eli Manning have won the last three Super Bowls, while Brady and Peyton Manning both have multiple NFL MVP awards. Brady has three Super Bowls. Peyton Manning has one. Flacco's numbers dipped slightly in 2011 with his completion percentage, passing yards, and touchdowns all taking a hit as he threw two more interceptions than he did in 2010. However, the Ravens were 12-4. Which I think Barty still runs around the station telling everybody about.
That's
and
right.
And won the AFC North, beating out your Steelers. And there were Lee Evans' dropped pass away from representing the AFC in the Super Bowl against the Giants. A first-round pick in 2006, Flacco has 1 year left on his rookie contract, but isn't concerned with what other quarterbacks make. It's not about the money, he said. It's about what you feel you deserve, Flacco told WNST. At the end of the day, they'll take care of it, and I'll be waiting. Still, Flacco said he wants to get a contract finished before the season starts. I hope we both want to get something done before the beginning of the year, because when the year comes and goes and I haven't been re-signed, that's when things can start to get a bit complicated. Pro Bowl running back Ray Rice, a restricted free agent, was given the Ravens franchise tag earlier in the offseason and has yet to work out a long-term deal. with the team. Flacco hopes to avoid the same situation. He said, you don't want to get to the point where you play out your contract and you get to those complicated situations where they can put the franchise tag on you and things happen like that. I don't really want it to get to that point just because of that. If we do, it's not going to be a distraction. It's just going to be what it is. So he says he is the best quarterback in the National Football League, even better than Tebow.
Wrong again.
What?
I don't know. Tebow, is he better than Tebow now or better than Tebow in 5 years? No, I'm kidding.
Sorry, Flacco's better than Tebow.
I agree. Okay, I'm just right. kidding.
I know you're kidding. I know you're kidting. And
I'm
again,
just waiting for the phones again, to light up. Going, again, what are you talking
again,
about?
I've never seen a guy like in my life like Tebow, where you can objectively say he's good at this, this, and this, but he needs to work on this, this, and this. They go, don't slam him. Don't slam him. I've watched him play. I'm just being realistic here, okay?
But he's a nice guy.
Yeah, I understand that. He's you know, I know he's a nice guy. I know everybody knows.
Let me ask you
what
this.
What his deal is.
What was Flacco's comment kind of taken out of context a little bit? I mean, did he mean to say, and I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt here, did he mean to say, I believe I'm the best quarterback because I have to believe that way and perform? Or did he really mean that he thinks he's the best quarterback, period? Thank you for joining us.
Well, I think the way I read it was that he thinks he's the best quarterback because any quarterback in his spot should feel that they're the best.
See, that's what I mean. I mean, he's putting.
And that's
on,
how I that's how yeah, I took it.
I didn't take it the way a lot of people are. That he's the best quarterback in the NFL. No, mm-hmm. I think he's saying that I'm the best quarterback in the NFL because I need to have that kind of mentality when I'm out on the field.
Right. He said right here. I mean, I'm the best. I don't think I'm top five. I think I'm the best. I don't think I'd be very successful at my job if I didn't feel that way. I mean, come on. That's not really too tough a question. That doesn't mean that things are going to work out. It just means that's the way it is.
It's just the way it comes out doesn't quite sound, I think, the way he meant it. Of course, I'm just guessing at what he means, too, so.
Well, I think what we're looking at is a guy here that is expressing confidence. Now, is it false bravado? I don't know. You know, well, you're even trying to convince yourself that you are. Now, I'll give him credit against the Patriots. That was a major league in the clutch drive that he engineered. It didn't work out because other people around him didn't cooperate. Lee Evans dropped a touchdown pass that would have won it. Billy Cundiff missed a field goal. And the field goal was not from 58 yards.
What did I tell you when he missed that field goal? What was the term I used? That was a yak. That wasn't a missed field goal. That wasn't just shaving the upright. That was a, this is for the Super Bowl. Oh, boy, that's not where I wanted it to go.
Right.
That's what it was.
So, I mean, to his credit, that was a major league drive and a major league moment. Okay, I mean, and you have to give credit where credit's due. I think if Lee Evans catches that pass, maybe we have a different perspective on Joe Flacco.
Which is maybe why Lee Evans is no longer on the Ravens roster.
Could be.
Just a guess. No, you're right. You're right. He makes that catch, and Flacco we're considering as the game that we've all been waiting for him to have. The game that we all think he could have, but hasn't. When the game's on the line in a playoff situation.
Look, in the previous seven playoff games that he had averaged 150 yards passing per game in the seven previous, which gives you that I'm a game manager feeling. But last year in the two playoff games he performed in, he averaged 241 yards passing. Okay, in the previous seven playoff games he had had, he had four touchdowns and seven interceptions. Last year in the two playoff games, he had four touchdowns and one interception. I'm not here to defend the guy. I'm just saying that the playoff numbers indicate that he's gone from game manager to more of a primetime player. Because, look, seven previous games, you're averaging 150 yards per game passing. This is the National Football League. That doesn't get it done.
Well, here's the other
thing. Four touchdowns and seven interceptions doesn't get it done. But two playoff games in 2011 against Houston and New England, he is 57%. 241 yards passing per game, and has four touchdowns and just one interception. Pretty good.
Well, when you're talking top five quarterbacks, you do have to look a little bit at the quarterback rating. You know, Rodgers is at 122, Breeze at 110, Brady's at 105, Romo's at 102. Those are the top four quarterbacks right now on quarterback rating as of last year. Now, where does Flacco fit in? 81.
I don't look at quarterback rating. Okay, you know what I look at?
What's your statistic, then? How do you judge?
Eyesight test. I'm not kidding.
I know what you're saying.
You have to look at it and say, okay, I mean, you're going to tell me, I mean, who would I rather have, Joe Flacco or Tony Romo? Because Romo is a higher, I probably would pick Flacco.
I don't know. I'd have to think about that one.
Who's had more success in the playoffs? This guy has five wins in the playoffs. He's played nine playoff games. He's won five of them. All right? And last year in the playoffs, he did not make the big mistake in last year's playoffs. Other people around him did, but he didn't.
Well, what about percentage? What about percentage? What about pass completions?
I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about production. I mean, the biggest thing to me is touchdowns to interceptions, huge. I remember one time I was talking to somebody about Super Bowl, and they were, you know, this is after the Patriots had won their third Super Bowl. And somebody said to me, Brady's the greatest Super Bowl quarterback ever. I said, no, John Montana's the greatest Super Bowl quarterback ever. They said, oh, well, if I had Jerry Rice. I said, no. I said, let's start with this. Joe Montana, in his Super Bowl career, has 11 touchdown passes and no interceptions. In the four biggest games of his life, he didn't throw an interception. Oh, and by the way, Freddie Solomon and Dwight Clark were his two primary receivers in his first Super Bowl. He only had Jerry Rice and John Taylor for his last two, not his first two. His running game was Ricky Patton and Earl Cooper. Hello?
I don't even remember those guys.
But I'm just saying, though, that's where mythology comes in. Everyone thinks that Joe Montana had Jerry Rice for all four Super Bowls. He had him for two. That's he had him for two. The other two he didn't. He had 11 touchdown passes and no interceptions. I'm sorry, and four wins. I'm sorry, but...
And Craig was only there for, what, three? Of the Super Bowls?
Who?
Roger Craig.
Roger Craig was there for three. Yeah. 19, 23, and 24. In fact, Craig had a great Super Bowl 19. He had three touchdowns, if I recall, against the Dolphins.
Right. But that's where... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was going to say, he at one time held the record for the most receptions and the most most carries for a running back.
Right. So, I mean, when I'm looking at Joe Flacco from 2008 to 2010... as a postseason quarterback, there's no way you can make that argument. Yeah, they won four games, but he only had 53%. But when you're only averaging 150 yards passing per game, and you have four touchdowns and seven interceptions, you can't be thought of in that realm. But then when you look at 2011, and this is an older, more mature quarterback, good running game with Ray Rice, no question about it. But look, he does not have some of the receivers that some people have, right? He just doesn't. He doesn't have Greg Jennings, and he doesn't have Donald Driver. And you know, he's also not as accurate as Aaron Rodgers either. But he goes He averaged 91 yards more per game. He threw as many touchdown passes in last year's playoff run as his three previous playoff runs, and six fewer interceptions. Now, if he follows it up and has another playoff run like that next year, now you do have to start thinking about him in different terms. And as for Tony Romo, I think Tony Romo is a very talented NFL quarterback. But again, he still has been prone to the big mistake. I will say this. Dallas has not had, at moments, some of the greatest talent. They have had some names around them, but not the greatest talent. Because of the Cowboys, they get built up a little bit sometimes. But he's been prone to the big mistake. I mean, we saw the game last year against the Jets where they're going along fine. He makes the big mistake in that game. The playoff game against Seattle where he's the guy that fumbles it. Okay, fine. He's a young kid. I get it. Not being overly critical here. But, you know, when you're talking about this realm, you have to split some hairs sometimes. Did you quit?
No, I'm listening intently. And the only thing I could add is, you know, you're right. Romo makes the mistake. I mean, you know, the most famous one is a bad hold. I mean, it's just, it's little mm-hmm. things like that that has right. given Tony Romo the reputation that he can't do anything in a big game.
Now, do I think he's a talented quarterback? Yes. Has Flacco actually performed better in postseason play than Tony Romo has? Yes. If you want to be objective about it, he has. Is Bartlett smiling?
From time to time. It depends on what we have to say about Flacco.
Well, I'm just saying, but is she smiling? I mean, I think I've defended her guy well.
Yes. No, she's happy with that. She's very happy. No, I mean, she blames Evans.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the bottom line is, I mean, if we can bring him for a speaking engagement in Danville, I mean, really. Okay. News at the bottom of the hour coming up after this.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That would be me. This has been the Sarah Bartlett Fest so far. We've talked about her man, Joe Flacco, in glowing terms today. That's what happens when paper exchanges hands. Unfortunately, not enough paper exchange hands, and we can't be complimentary of them any longer. We only had a 10-minute time limit.
And what? Time has expired.
Time's expired. Now let's tell you what we really think about Joe Flacco. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. Now, when I look at talk about elite quarterbacks, Roethlisberger's name should be put in there.
You know what? I'm not sure if I'm ready to do that yet.
Why?
Well, all right. But
why? They change receivers. They change. They change running backs. The guy has. You know. The guy's had more thrust on his shoulders. You know, does he get hurt? Yes.
Right.
All right. But you know what? I think he has two Super Bowl wins. One that he quarterbacked, and the other one he managed.
That's my problem.
But you know what? You know how hard it is to win one.
I get that.
In fact, ask Joe Flacco.
I get that. But it's the Super Bowl he kind of managed is the one that bothers me a little bit, because I've seen a couple of those playoff games where, you know, when it came down to it, he was just a little flat. Usually it has to – usually it's when they play New England.
Sorry, I think he's one of the elite quarterbacks.
I think he's almost there.
No, I think he's one of the elite quarterbacks. Look, he has two Super Bowl wins to his credit, and he was a big reason why they got to the Super Bowl the year he managed the win over Seattle, all right? He is. You know, I think you go into games, game planning for him. And I think if you're a defensive coordinator and you're game planning for a guy, that means you have a legitimate fear of him.
And I think now, part of the problem has been recently health.
Well, of course it's been.
You know, he has not been 100%.
The motorcycle accident, right. The ankle injury, things like that. But you know what? He's also shown great guts along the way, too, to play with some of the injuries he's played with.
No, listen, that game where he came out after what I would have put money was a broken ankle, just by the way it looked. Right. When he comes back out and then plays as well as he did, I just, you know.
I definitely put Roethlisberger's name in the elite group. He has two Super Bowl wins. He's won a lot of division championships. He just can't beat Tebow.
Listen, Ben Roethlisberger was not the reason the Steelers lost that game. It was the fact that nobody covered a receiver down the middle of the field. That's where the problem was.
I said that for your benefit.
Thanks.
Just to get a little rise in that already high blood pressure you have.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks. I'm not saying I'm not a big fan. I am a big fan. I just don't know if I'm ready to put him. If you're going to be an elite quarterback all in the NFL, not are you talking just today's quarterback, or are you talking about an elite quarterback in the NFL, period?
He speaks highly of you.
He doesn't know me from Adam.
I think you just look at him, whether it's today or last year or whatever, I think he's one of the elite quarterbacks. I mean, is Tom Brady less of an elite quarterback because they went three straight years of first-round playoff losses?
Well, all right. But again.
Is he?
No.
I mean, everyone knows he's won three Super Bowls and he's lost two Super Bowls, so he's been there five times. He also went through a three-year period where they lost in the first round. Well, twice, and then he was hurt the 1 year, and they didn't get there at all. But I think Roethlisberger is one of the elite quarterbacks.
You know, I just every time that word elite quarterback comes up, I always ask myself, are we referring to elite quarterbacks in the NFL today? Are we talking elite quarterbacks as in the history of the NFL? That's the question that I always
today.
Okay.
We're talking about the greatest quarterbacks of all time in the National Football League. You have to go back to Sammy Baugh, Sid Luckman, Norm Van Brocklin, Johnny Unitas.
And that's a hard comparison to make, too.
Bart Starr. You know, Bradshaw has to get in there. Roger Staubach has to get in there. You know, Montana. And on and on and on. There's just a number of guys that fall into that category. Remember we went through the Super Bowl thing a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
Where I was talking about, look, in the history of the Super Bowl, look at the quarterbacks, who the quarterbacks were. Almost everybody gets there, doesn't get there with Brad Johnson. And Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl. But he's not going to be considered among the elite. Trent Dilfer won one. He's not going to be considered among the elite. But look at the other ones. Brett Favre, John Elway. You know, I mean, Phil Simms was really good in his time. Roger Staubach, Troy Aikman, Bradshaw, Bart Starr, Namath. You know, even though the Namath shelf life was not that long still, Len Dawson was a heck of a professional quarterback. You know, Greasy was a really, really good quarterback. You know, I mean, you go through the lineage of this. You know, Kenny Stabler may not be a Hall of Fame quarterback, but Kenny Stabler's a really good NFL quarterback, I'll tell you that. You can win a lot of games with Kenny Stabler, and he did. You know, and on and on and on we go with the names that we can throw out there of great quarterbacks. And you want to talk about Roethlisberger for a second, okay? Roethlisberger, Peyton Manning's considered an elite quarterback, right, in his career. Roethlisberger, if you want to throw out the first one because he game managed it, now it has as many Super Bowl championships that he quarterbacked as Manning does. That's if you wanted to throw out the first one. Right?
No, I'll give you that.
Aaron Rodgers.
Sure.
Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has as many Super Bowl quarterback Super Bowl rings as Roethlisberger if you wanted to throw out the first one.
Yeah, I'd agree. I would agree with it if you look at it that way. It's just the first Super Bowl is the one that always the one that always bothers me when you start talking about, you know, the big stage and the big play, and that's the one where I think it got the most of him. And I've seen a couple in a couple of AFC Championship games, I felt have been that way as well.
Bob Greasy was the starting quarterback in three Super Bowls, same as Ben Roethlisberger, right? Has the same record in three Super Bowls as Ben Roethlisberger, correct? 2-1. How are we doing so far? You okay with me?
I'm following along.
Okay. Bob Greasy, in the last two Super Bowls, 7 and 8, that the Dolphins won, attempted a total of 15 passes. Total.
Really? 15?
Yeah.
Huh.
Look it up.
Well, I don't doubt you. I'm just surprised.
No,
by
find
that
a gear.
Answer.
Look it up. Find a gear. Look it up. Look up the game stats of Super Bowl 7 and 8. I think he attempted a total of 15 passes.
Hang on. We'll do that now.
While you do that, I'll talk to Dave in Sunbury. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Great to hear you. Hey, good to hear from you, Dave.
Well, I got a little more, one more thing for Kevin to stew about a little bit. Which one's the one is he not satisfied with, that Seattle game?
The Seattle Super Bowl 40, yeah.
Was that the one when it was in Detroit?
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
may have been the poorest officiated Super Bowl I've ever seen.
Agreed. Well, they don't even get there if he doesn't make that tackle after the bus fumbled that football down the middle and then defensive back, but down the sideline, and then go to the middle of the field. Ben tackled that guy, or you don't even get there.
I'm not sure I'd use the word tackle, but
well,
but there's you do make a point there, yes. I think he just kind of tripped over the yard marker on the
field.
Well,
I said to my brothers, I said, why did that guy go back in the center of the field? You know what I mean? He had that touchdown on the sideline. We need to go back in the middle of the field.
Well, you know what? In my lifetime, Dave, I've never had the ability to run that fast, and I never had the ability to see that kind of field. So I'm not going to sit there and criticize him too much.
No, I was just saying is that touchdown, and then Pittsburgh don't even go that Super Bowl.
Right.
But he made the tackle. Whatever Kevin Hurst seems to see that, you know, that, well, I said, hey, you spend that whole game, and then you're throwing the football and trying to run around and not get sacked. And then you, because the guy fumbled the ball, didn't fumble the whole season until that particular play.
The only problem is you can go back and say as well that the defense really won the game as well because they made
a
stand
true.
After the turnover, and the missed field goal was the reason. So I mean, but I get your point.
Yeah, I said, you know, I say, and by the way, Kevin, I'm a Buffalo Bill fan, so...
You're still looking for a quarterback.
No, I get to the Super Bowl, I just can't win them.
Yeah, you don't even want to talk about field goals.
Mine goes back to the first one. If they miss, you know, if he makes that field goal, everybody's talking about the tuna. Well, the tuna went and got the first Super Bowl win. If he kicks that by 3 inches to between the goalposts...
Right.
You know, anybody
exactly. Remember, they were huge underdogs in that game, too. A lot of people had thought the Giants, well, they backup quarterback, by the way. The Giants were playing with a backup quarterback.
Yeah,
they weren't playing with Phil Sims. In fact, people forget that for that Super Bowl 25, the Giants that season started out, I think, 11-0 with Phil Sims at quarterback, and had a matchup with the Niners on Monday Night Football of two undefeated teams in the same year.
Yeah, well,
okay. And the Giants were actually a dominant football team with Phil Sims at quarterback, a dominant team. They had not lost a game. And then he got hurt, and then they had to really, Jeff Hostetler, who was credited, did well, but they played the Super Bowl with their second-string quarterback and won the game. So field goal, yes, but also at the same time, they had a critical injury to a key player.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. But all I was saying to you, Steve, was that I remember where he started his college career.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, Dave, I appreciate the call as always. Our number 1-800-795-9565.
And I did get your Miami stat that you were looking for. It was exactly 15 passes, 11 in Super Bowl 7, 4 in Super Bowl 8. 4.
Thank you.
Listen, I've learned a long time ago, when it comes to numbers and stats, never debate them with you, because I will be wrong. That's why I didn't argue. I had to see it. But you're right. I did not debate that one bit from you.
If that isn't the definition of game management, what is?
Well, you also had Larry Zonka, too. That helped.
But he had Jerome Bettis.
True. Excellent point.
I mean, that's the bottom. I mean, you look at that. I'm just trying to make that point to you.
Oh, I'm sorry. It is 18. But I'm going to give you the benefit of the three anyway.
He had seven in Super Bowl 8 and 11 in Super Bowl 7.
Yeah, okay. He was 6 so of 18. 7.
Right, 6 of 7 and what, 8 of 11?
8 of 11, yeah.
Right. Okay. Just trying to figure that off the top of my head here. All right. So, he attempts 18 passes in two Super Bowls. They win them both. That's not game management?
I would not argue that that's game management.
And this is a great, and again, Bob Greasy, I thought, was a great quarterback. So that's not, it has nothing to do with the argument. I'm trying to then point out that what Roethlisberger did, Roethlisberger made some winning plays in Super Bowl 40. It wasn't like he didn't.
Well, Minnesota couldn't put the ball in the end zone either. I mean, they had 54 plays for 238 yards. Miami had seven more plays and only 20 more yards. But Miami actually scored when they finished drives.
Exactly. And they controlled the clock because of Zonka and Kick and then eventually Mercury Morris.
Let's see, what was Zonka in that one? He was 33
Zonka,
carries.
Zonka was the MVP of Super Bowl 8. I know that.
33
Super
carries.
Super Bowl 7 MVP, I think, was Jake Scott.
Yeah, 33 carries, 145 yards, and two touchdowns. And Morris had 34 yards and 11 carries.
Mm-hmm. And I think Kick scored a touchdown that game, didn't he?
He did.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like working with a sports encyclopedia.
Okay.
Who needs Google?
I don't know. And let's see. In Super Bowl 7, it was a 14-7 win. If I recall, Greasy threw a touchdown pass in the game, and he threw an interception in the game. I think he threw a touchdown pass to Maven, to Jim Mandich.
Greasy was 8 of 11, 88 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. And okay. Zonka had 112 yards in that game on 15 carries. Kick had 10 carries, 38 yards, and a touchdown. And Morris with 10 carries, 34 yards.
And who caught the touchdown pass? Was it Mandich?
Twilly.
Howard Twilly. Okay. Mandich caught the one that put the ball on the 3-yard line that set up a touchdown.
That was his only catch of the ball game.
Howard Twilly. Yes. But there, I mean, great quarterback. Hall of Fame, right?
Sure.
Two wins, one loss in the Super Bowl. Attempted a total of 18 passes in the two Super Bowl wins. Was he insignificant to the victories?
Well, he didn't make the mistake.
He threw an interception.
And But that's what I mean. When you talk about managing the game, he didn't make the mistake that was costly, and they still won the game. When you look back at 40, I think the big problem I had there was Ben made a few mistakes that, if the defense would not have played well, would have cost him the ball game. Seattle had opportunities to win that game and didn't win it.
Right, exactly. But how many years was Ben Roethlisberger in the league?
Granted.
Okay?
Yeah.
Being Bob Greasy, game managed with Zonka, Kick, Morris, and so forth, and a great Dolphin defense. Bill Stanfill, Manny Fernandez, Nick Bonacani, one of the more underrated linebackers ever, Jake Scott, Dick Anderson, you know, Bob Matheson.
Well, you could definitely make the argument that the Dolphins' defense helped them out as well as the Steelers' defense.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, she could.
I mean, 228 yards that the Redskins
They gave up 14 points total in two Super Bowls.
Yeah, you can make that argument, sure.
You can make the argument, sure you can, yeah. Okay, so he's a game manager. And at that stage, if I recall correctly, Greasy came into the league in 68. So at this point, he's like a 6 or 7 year veteran in the league. And a legitimate Hall of Fame quarterback, and a big reason why they won those games. He made the big plays and the big moments when they needed it. The big pass to manage, set up a touchdown, threw the touchdown pass to Twilley. You know, and had been coming off an injury. He had hurt his ankle in the fourth game of the year. Earl Morrill quarterbacked the other games. Then he came off the bench against the Steelers. Larry Seipel had that big fake punt to set it up. And then in the next year when they just rolled through and won. They had, two losses that year. I think the streak was snapped at Oakland or something like that. But the game managed. Meanwhile, Roethlisberger engineered the game-winning drive in the Super Bowl against Arizona, where it was on his shoulders to make it all happen after Arizona had taken the lead on a day where the Steelers defense did not play well.
Well, except for one play right before halftime.
Well, and the Hampton play, yeah, obviously. I mean, nobody in the history of football has run that slow to score. I mean, nobody. I mean, it took 18 seconds.
I'll never forget. I'm sitting there screaming at the TV, somebody give him a push.
I mean, it took 18 seconds. I mean, in Arizona Cardinal history, and whether it was in Chicago, St. Louis, or in Phoenix, they've had some embarrassing moments. Not catching him over a span of 100 yards is...
I did. I was screaming
at the
TV.
That is an issue.
Somebody push him, please. He's not going fast enough.
I mean, honest to goodness, I mean, I almost called Valvoline. The guy was leaking oil about the 40s. But in the clutch, after they gave up the touchdown to Larry Fitzgerald, he engineered the game-winning drive in the clutch.
And he also threw a pass that, in the end zone, don't get me wrong, the catch was outstanding, but that was the only place that pass was going to be a completed pass. That was the only spot that he could throw that.
Right. It's just a phenomenal play at a phenomenal moment. To me, he's among the elite quarterbacks in the NFL.
But it's just tough to get over the two interceptions, even though they won, in Super Bowl 40 and the 9 of 21 in that game. Now, if they would not have had the game against Arizona, I don't think you could make an argument then.
Of course not. Of course not. No, you could definitely could not make that argument. You could then talk about, hey, look, the one he won, he managed and so forth. But the second one he won, he may not have been the MVP, but he's the big reason. He is the big reason why they won. If you take Santonio Holmes off that team and insert another receiver, Roethlisberger still would have won that game. He played a phenomenal game that night. And even though you have like 18 Troy Polamalu jerseys.
Just one.
Oh, just come one. On. Come on. You have it in every color.
Here, we're going to take a break. Finish that thought in a minute.
I'm thinking.
Yeah, we're back.
All right, welcome everyone back to
that
the
was
show.
Smooth, wasn't it?
I thought you handled that part really well.
That was smooth.
There'll be a meeting later. There'll be a meeting later. You know, you might be suspended for a week. All right.
Without pay?
One can hope.
Can I appeal that?
I'm sure there's a charity we can send it to in the beautiful Sunbury area. All right. The second hour is coming up. If you thought the opening hour was special, wait till hear what we have in the second hour. I thought for Sarah Bartlett it was a strong hour. Kevin, your grade's coming out during the news.
Did I get
CBS
a progress
News
report?
Top of the hour. If I were you, I'd brace myself.